Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com. Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. It's Monday, June 14, 2021. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. And as previously noted, at least once a week in advance of the 2021 NBA draft that is scheduled for July 29th, we're going to be dedicating an episode of the Eye on College Basketball podcast to a notable prospect, same way we did in advance of last year's NBA draft. We started the series 3 weeks ago with a 22-minute profile of Cade Cunningham. We followed that with 22 minutes on Evan Mobley. Then we did 25 minutes on Jalen Suggs. And today we turn our attention to another consensus top five pick, former five-star prospect Jalen Green. He was actually ranked second in the class of 2020, according to 24/7 Sports. He's a 6'6", 178-pound, 19-year-old guard from California who skipped college to play for the G League Ignite, price of $500,000. He averaged 17.9 points, 4.1 rebounds, and 2.8 assists in 32 minutes per game, shot 46.1% from the field on 13.6 attempts per game. He shot 36.5% from three on 5.7 attempts per game. He was the team's leading scorer and best three-point shooter. I've seen him as high as third in some mock drafts. I have him going fourth behind Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, and Evan Mobley. Degleg, what more can you tell us?
He's shot 55% from two, 36% from three-point range in 16 games at that G League Ignite level. He does have, you ask, what more can I tell you? For most people listening, there is the allure somewhat of the unknown here. I mean, only the diehard of diehard NBA draft fans have been keeping consistent tabs on Jalen Green, whereas if he had gone to college, he would quite clearly be a known commodity. He would have most certainly played for Bruce Pearl at Auburn had he gone to college, and well, that would have certainly, things would have gone different, I think, for the Tigers last season if that had been the case. Green himself, by the way, tweeted back in May. He tweeted and then subsequently deleted, because this isn't exactly the greatest endorsement for the G League. He said, "I know for a fact if I would have gone to college, it would have been a different talk about who's going number one." He might well be right, but that's the status of the G League Ignite program at this point, and that's to be expected, by the way. But hey, listen, you're not going to go number one because you didn't go to college, but you got paid $500,000, and you're going to go second, third, or fourth, and I think that's a trade-off that quite clearly Jalen is comfortable with. What else to know about him? He's regarded as a top three point getter in this draft class because he's a shooter just as much as he's a scorer, GP. Those are different things. Shooters and scorers are not always one and the same, but in this case, Green has both skills, and he is quite good. I did check in on our podcast buddy Sam Vecini. We'll get to him in a few minutes if he wants, about Jalen Green's potential. He thinks that he is like a borderline lock to average north of 20 in the league, which certainly says something. And there's no guarantee of anything like that, but I think there is a general consensus that he is certainly way more likely than not to average 17, 18 or more per game within a few years of getting to the NBA, and that's going to be a big reason why he's going to go wherever he gets picked. I'll be intrigued to see if he does go ahead of Mobley. I think he's got a shot maybe at going number two. We'll see if anything happens over the rest of June here to change things, but I would still take Suggs over him. On our last draft podcast episode, we obviously waxed poetic heavily on why we love Suggs so much. I would take Suggs ahead of Green, but I don't think it's completely out of the question. And one interesting thing about this is you mentioned he was number two in the class of 247. Jalen Green has been a known NBA future NBA talent for like 4 years. And he was, for some, he was considered the best player in the class of 2020 for a good while there. So because of that, it's also added up to why he's still in this conversation. As you said, 6'6", 178. He's got big pops, simple, effortless explosiveness. He's potentially the best athlete in this draft, which is also why he's in this conversation to go as high as he is. A couple more things to know, and then I'll volley it back over to you. He's definitely not like a top 20 defender in this draft, and I did a little bit of research, of course, in advance of us doing this, but I wanted to get a little more of a grasp on kind of where he fits in. Average defender at this point, but is seen as someone who can certainly eventually grow into be a very good defender. Like, sometimes there are top 15 prospects, and they are just okay defensively, and that's just okay. Like, that's what they're always going to be. Green actually seems to have a reachable ceiling in that regard, and I do think on a certain level, like, the reason why he's not in the conversation for number one, and he's not heavily in the conversation, maybe he's on the fringes of going number two, is the G League experience is still not being regarded and being put in as a replacement for, like, true high-level college competition. It's why Jalen Suggs is going to go extremely high in this draft. For as good as Green is, he's not considered that good that he could overcome the circumstances he opted to put himself into by playing in the G League. Like, the G League has not been around long enough, and Green's not that great where it can be a situation where it's like, this dude is so awesome that it doesn't matter who he played, he's going to go number one. Or, all right, G League's been around 15 years, and since we know what it is and we knew what he was coming out of high school, we think he's worth taking a chance on number one. That reality hasn't merged yet, GP, and so because of that, the likes of Jalen Green, Jonathan Kuminga, who we'll get to on a future episode, those players will eventually be, they're going to be the tone setters in some regard, but he is a really good talent, and I do think that he is a classic case of a guy where once they get to summer league ball, like, I could totally see a situation where the NBA hardcores are going nuts because Jalen Green in summer league is like averaging like 27 a game. Summer league doesn't really mean all that much, but he's a very fun player to watch, and he will make the fans of the team that he goes to quite excited because he is. I would be shocked if he is not starting by the end of his rookie year.
You described him as a top three scorer in this draft. I'll take it a step further. I think he's the best scorer in this draft. You called him maybe not a top 20 defender in this draft. I'll take it further. I'm not sure he's a top 40 okay. defender in this draft.
All right,
there's some real issues there, like his willingness to guard, the attention to detail on defense is not great. Leaves something to be desired. But I did think it was interesting, the tweet from Jalen Green saying, if I had to play college, people would be talking differently about who's going number one. I don't know that he's wrong. Because if he'd have played in college, we would have seen him more. And he would have been on a national television twice a week for 4 months. He was on national television some, but like some in games that people,
I mean,
unless
it's like ESPN2 maybe at 1:30. Like yes, technically national television, but he was never playing in prime time where people were like finding the game. Like,
yeah, unless you're really into the draft, you're not watching the G League Ignite. So I do think there's like some truth to what he said, which is if people would have, basically what he was saying was, if people would have seen me play against college players on national television, then they'd be talking differently about who's going number one. I'm not sure he's wrong. Because we can be dismissive of the G League in the sense that it just takes you totally off the radar, relative to what happens to you if you go play at Kentucky or Kansas or Auburn or, you know, whatever. But he was playing against grown men who were really good college players. Like, his final game for the G League Ignite, he scored 30 in a game against a team that had Nick Stauskas, Gary Payton, Henry Ellenson.
Well, not that Gary, the other Gary Payton.
Gary Payton the second.
Yeah.
But like still, like Gary Payton the second was a very good college player.
I know. The idea of Jalen Green playing against the glove is a hell of a visual.
That's my favorite part of The Last Dance, or one of my favorite parts of The Last Dance.
Glove.
The glove. Michael Jordan said, I had no problem with the glove. They got this clip of Gary Payton talking about, yeah, you know, that series might have been different if I'd have guarded MJ from the jump. Michael's watching it, and he's like, I had no problem with the glove.
The anti-OJ Simpson story, indeed, yes.
So, could you argue that scoring 30 against a team with Nick Stauskas, Gary Payton II, Henry Ellenson, and other notable college products who are now 25-year-old professionals, is that more impressive than scoring 30 in college? I think you could argue it is.
For sure. But even as you say that, just a quick aside, like, it's so funny how sometimes when you'll talk to coaches or scouts, they will have such an amazing keen eye and foresight on some of this stuff. And sometimes, you know, you're just talking kind of on background off the record, and they're just huge. Like, I remember sitting next to a very well-respected then assistant in college basketball when we saw Henry Ellenson play. And this guy was like, I'm telling you, this guy's going to be a 5-time NBA All-Star. He's going against Jalen Green. So sometimes there are occasional misfires. Henry Ellenson, very nice player. But when you brought his name up, I didn't even know he was in that game. But it just, like, you know, just goes to show you. I hope he's making his way toward a respectable return to the NBA all the same. Would Jalen Green have been in the conversation for number one if he went to college? I think the answer unequivocally is yes, particularly when I look at what Auburn was doing last season in a very bizarre, like, again, I'm operating under the idea that he would have played for Bruce Pearl at Auburn. So just specifically with that, and we look at what the Tigers were.
What were the other schools involved? Oregon was involved. Memphis was involved.
Yeah.
I want to say it came down to Oregon, Auburn, Memphis.
I think you're right on that. But, like, Sharif Cooper, who certainly wanted to get his, was a freaking dynamo. Now, Auburn was just up and down bad. They were expected to be bad. They were 13-14. But you put Jalen Green on that team, I think he's good enough to where, at the very least, like, Auburn is flirting with getting into the NCAA tournament. They were even close to that. And if that was the case, I just think that he would have been better positioned to be in the conversation for number one than he is now, even though what you bring up in terms of the competition he was playing, it's legitimate. But again, to me, I think this is also just the nature of the reality of what the G League program is right now. Like, the trajectories of Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga, most notably because they're the two guys that are going to go top five, top six, they will ignite the story of the G League Ignite program. Because is this going to be something 5-10 years from now, if we're mocking out players for the 2031 NBA draft, will 6 or 7 of the top 20 picks in that year be drafted by way of this G League program, or will this not even exist the way we know it in 3 or 4 years because of the age minimums? It's going to be very interesting. And so I think there's still plenty of skepticism over all of this, even if that's unfair to Jalen Green specifically. But it starts with him. And I think because he's so offensively gifted, there's no shot he drops out of the top five. Like, none. He is going to go in the top five. That's why he is in the rotation in this podcast series where we're talking about him, because his gifts on that end are, frankly, they are undeniable, because he can get to the rim. He's not super physical, but he's got a good, he can get to the rim with plenty of gusto, good mid-range game, solid three-point game overall, and on a certain level, that's just going to be irresistible. Particularly, we'll have to wait and see how the lottery shakes out, but particularly for a team that lands in that 2-3-4 spot that is going to need some more offensive pop, he's going. This is a lock of locks. He will go.
I agree with that. Like, I would consider him as high as number two, and there's no way I let him drop further than four.
Yeah, I would agree.
The only three players I would consider taking in front of him are Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, and Evan Mobley. You know, Kuminga, who's the other consensus top five prospect, like, was on the same team, in the same program, just not as good. So, like, I'd take him as high as two. I'm taking Cade Cunningham number one, no matter what franchise I am. For, you know, whether I'm right or wrong, that's what I'm doing. And then I would consider Jalen Green as high as two, and I would, he does not get past four for me. And my point earlier was just, for whatever it's worth, he performed well against professionals as a 19-year-old. We can debate what that's worth. I just insist it's not worth nothing. And I could argue it's as impressive, if not more impressive, than what basically anybody did in college basketball. Any real prospect, you know, lottery prospect did in college basketball this past season. Super explosive player, natural gifted scorer. Like I said, probably the best scorer in the draft. Great first step, a great first step, great leaper. You can throw him lobs on backdoor cuts, incredible bounce. He can finish at the rim, shoot from the three-point line, and also possesses a mid-range game. Like, he can score from all three levels. He already has a step-back game, you know, and at 6'6", if he is 6'6", and we'll get to that in a minute, he can get that shot off easily. You know, the step back three is a shot most great guards now have, and he can make that shot already. You mentioned Sam Vecenie, who we'll let talk here in a minute. Sam like writes that he'll have him graded higher entering this draft than he had Anthony Edwards.
Saw that. And I think I would agree with that, but I was also down on Edwards compared to most last year. But that is an interesting.
I was down on Edwards compared to most, but he was really good as a rookie. Like, he had some big scoring games. And so that Sam is higher on Jalen Green at this point in their careers than he was on Anthony Edwards at the exact same time, I think is interesting, because Sam is somebody I respect as an evaluator. He shot Jalen Green a good percentage from three. I think it was 36.5, but there were some 0 for games in there. So he's more of a streaky shooter than a reliable shooter. Like, he might go 6 of 7 or 1 of 7. Mm. You know, 6 of 7 one game, 1 of 7 the next. So he's more of a streaky shooter than a reliable shooter, but that's not a major concern. He can make that shot. That's all you need to know. As far as weaknesses, we talked about, you know, his willingness to guard. You know, if you are an athlete with size, it's up to you whether you're guarding or not. Like, there are some people who can't guard because they're too little or they can't move their feet, whatever. But when you're an athlete with size, it's up to you. You can guard if you want to. So he has never shown a real desire to be great on the defensive end of the court, but I'm going to assume, just based on his size and athleticism, he should be able to guard better. But he is, you wouldn't put defense in the positive column at this point. The other thing, is he really 6'6"? You know, it sounds nice, 6'6 combo guard. I'm not sure he's 6'6".
He
was listed as 6'5 coming out of high school, and that is always exaggerated.
Yeah.
So he was probably 6'4 coming out of high school. Did he really grow 2 inches? I tried to watch as much film as I could to try to get a gauge. Like, is that 6'6 or 6'5? I honestly couldn't tell. But there's enough speculation out there that height might be exaggerated for me to think that it might be slightly. He might be 6'4, 6'5.
Mm-hmm.
Then instead of 6'6". Either way, he's pretty light at 178. The purposes of comparison, Jalen Suggs is listed at 6'4", 205. Jalen Green's listed at 6'6", 178. It's a 27-pound difference. So he's going to have to add weight, and like all skinny people, he will. But he's got to get a lot stronger if he's going to try to guard NBA guards with size and try to drive on NBA guards with size. Because right now, 178, that's pretty light. The other thing that stands out when you watch him, he doesn't do much beyond score. Like, he's not a great playmaker, not a great passer. He's really not going to get anything for anybody else, at least not at this stage in his career. And if you're somebody who starts looking for comps, like, who was comparable coming out of college? Zach LaVine makes some sense to you? LaVine was, again, LaVine, one and done.
Not coming out of college. I thought LaVine was out of his mind leaving UCLA when he did. I mean, that I think, and I was not alone. A lot of people were like, what is going on with this? Because he just was like a non-factor at UCLA, just an absurd athlete. I would say LaVine's an even better athlete than Jalen Green, but that is an interesting one.
A guard with size who is athletic and can shoot. That is Zach LaVine, and that is how you project Jalen Green. The interesting thing, though, is that Zach LaVine is awesome now. Like, he was an all-star this season. But you know how long he's been in the NBA?
I'm going to say 7 years now.
It is 7 years.
Yeah.
He just finished his 7th season. So it took him 7 seasons and 2 different teams, Minnesota then Chicago, to actually become this version of himself.
Yeah.
So how many franchises are willing to be that patient with a top-5 pick? Yeah, well, you know, we'll see. But that would be the concern, is that we know he can do this one thing very well right now, but he can really only do that one thing very well right now, and it's score.
You mentioned his weight. Now, he is like a Ja Morant level kind of athlete, and Ja has, I mean, how much weight has Ja put on?
Very little.
And now maybe Ja still will need to put on, you know, as gets to year 3 and year 4, maybe we'll see that he gets just another 5 or 6 pounds of muscle. Is still significant, but
when you see Ja up close, it is striking how I mean, he's put together, like, you know, he's got abs and muscles and all that stuff, but he's just,
he's spindly. You know, yes.
He is very thin. Like he's 6'3", but he's a little bitty. Right. You feel like you could just wrap your arms all the way around it's five times.
It makes him honestly just among the most compelling players in the league because of that. But my point is Jalen Green is that kind of an athlete. And so if he is, you know, 182, 183 by the end of his rookie year, I still think that he will bring, he's not willing to be quite as violent. I mean, Ja Morant, sometimes the dunks he tries to pull off are frankly absurd. Like it almost seems like a subculture to his game. But I think that Jalen Green will bring some of that to the NBA, and it won't restrict him from bringing that kind of physicality and ambition, if you will. I'm very interested to see him eventually get to the league. It would have been great to see him in college, but college basketball was fine. Not having Jalen Green, the NBA will certainly benefit wherever he winds up landing.
I did see a highlight when I was watching Jalen Green stuff last night, this morning, where he did try to dunk from just inside the free throw line in an actual game. So he's got that too. You know, he'll try to punch on you, you know, in transition, or if, you know, with a quick first step. Like he'll create some highlights. I promise you. And I think he will be impactful as a scorer pretty much from day one. And you can't always assume 19-year-olds are going to be impactful from day one in the NBA, but he'll carve out a role very quickly as a scorer for whatever franchise ends up with him. And then in time, we'll see what he develops into. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Isaiah Austin, legend. Shouts to Larnell. Thank you guys once again for listening to the Island College Basketball Podcast in the middle of the dumbest pandemic of my lifetime. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. We'd appreciate it. While you're there, leave a review, 5 stars and nice comments. They're always nice to read. So do that, and we will talk to you again real soon. Till then, take care.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.